So the word referendum has different meanings in different countries. And in Australia, when we talk about a referendum, we talk about a vote to change our constitution. It's very hard to change. There's a process by which you can change it, and that needs to happen from time to time. In the UK, the word doesn't necessarily mean the same thing. And so what it's being held for on this occasion is to choose whether or not to take a big step, a big political, a big legal, a big constitutional, a big economic step. And they've only ever had three referendums like this in the UK. We in Australia have had referendums voting on around 44 different proposals. So they're a bit new to this, and I think they designed their referendum in a way that we probably wouldn't have designed it, and probably that's part of the reason they're in a bit of a pickle at the moment. So in Australia, if you're wanting to have a referendum, you're doing that to change the constitution. And so what that means is, before you can even do any of this, you draft the law up, you write it all out in detail, exactly what you want to do. You get that voted for by both houses of the federal parliament, and then, and only then, it gets voted on by the people. In the UK, they didn't have a proposal, they didn't have a plan before the referendum. They just said, should we leave the EU, or should we remain in the EU? And what that meant was that it wasn't actually clear to anyone, even the people who wanted the UK to leave, what it would actually mean for the UK to leave. There wasn't a plan, there wasn't a, first we'll do this, then we'll do this, and it all happened in this exact way. Instead, it was just, should we remain or should we leave? And people voted to leave. The problems that they're having after the referendum are, at least in a large part, because different people have a different idea on how that plan should work now that people have voted for it. Yeah, so Australia, this isn't true elsewhere, but in Australia, if you're wanting to amend the constitution at a referendum, you need to have a majority of Australians, that is everyone in the whole country, voting for the proposal, but you also need to have a majority of states voting in favour of the proposal. So that means in Australia, four of the six states need to vote in favour of it. So it's not just good enough in Australia to have a majority of people voting for it. You also need majorities in a majority of the states. And that, historically, has made it really hard to change Australia's constitution. Mm-hmm. Only eight attempts have been successful out of 44. It's different in the UK. It's different elsewhere because they have different systems. So in the UK, there was no requirement, anything like that, and that made it easier for them to vote to leave. Every country is different, and so there's no reason that just because we do something in Australia, the UK should do it too. The other problem with the UK is that there are four component parts of the UK, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England. But England is by far the biggest. It's like so much bigger than the other three in a way that we don't have in Australia, even with New South Wales. But one thing some people are talking about is, well, maybe there should have been a requirement, for example, that the referendum get 60% support or something like that as a way of making sure that the population was really in favour. But I think then we'd still be in a tricky situation this week if 52% of people had voted to leave as they did. There's no right way to design these things, but there are a few quirks here that have led the British people into a slightly tricky situation. Well, it's easy to be smart with hindsight. But I think the British could have designed something whereby they said, we will, if you vote to leave, the Prime Minister will trigger the leaving process within, say, a week or a month of the vote being successful, and then the what the Prime Minister will try and negotiate is this particular trade deal or this particular economic deal to give the Prime Minister or the government some direction as to how what leave was meant to look like and how it was meant to work. Instead, we're not sure when they're going to trigger the negotiation process. We're not sure when it's going to happen. And it drag out for years, and they're delaying the start of that period for years. So I think had it been designed with a little bit more clarity as to what leave meant, even just a little bit, that might have made things smoother in the week after. If the British had their time again, I think many of them would say it would have been better if the referendum question had a little bit more clarity and had a little bit perhaps more of a timeline as to when the Prime Minister or the government was meant to start this whole process of pulling out. It's a really complicated divorce negotiation, essentially. They've made the decision to split up, but they have to make the decision on how that's going to work. And there could have been more clarity about that in the question if it had been designed differently. But with hindsight, it's easy to say these things.
The other thing I wanted to talk about is compulsory voting. So it's not compulsory to vote in the UK, but I guess with hindsight as well, would that have added any legitimacy to the process, do you think?
Well, compulsory voting is actually really rare. Australia is the odd one out here. We're not the norm. So other countries tend to look at Australian compulsory voting and find it quite confusing. But in this case, it could well have had quite an impact on the result. Let me give you one example. People under the age of 50, and especially people under the age of 30 or 25, voted really strongly to stay in the EU because they thought it was important for them. People over the age of 50, and especially people over the age of 65, voted really strongly to leave. And there were more of the people who were older who actually participated and voted. In Australia, you might have a situation where because everyone was made to show up at the polling station and at least get their name crossed off and cast a vote, maybe the young people would have had more of a say. And so I think that's a reminder, if we could well have some big votes here in Australia in the next few years about marriage or about Indigenous recognition or about the Republic, and it's a reminder to all young people and people of all backgrounds and ages to show up and vote and to make sure that they do comply with the need to vote compulsorily.
Mm-hmm. But the turnout was actually 72% for the Brexit vote. Is that considered high?
It's a very large turnout in the UK. I think it's one of the largest turnouts they've had for some decades, which is great for them. But in Australia, we would, with compulsory voting, we'd be getting up in the 90% participation. So it all depends where you're coming from. For them, the turnout on this occasion was actually very good, but for us it would be not so great.
All right, and my final question is just, do you think there were any alternatives for the UK to a referendum? Are there any other processes they could have taken to have this vote?
Well, if you're wanting to have a vote of all the people, then that's what you have. It doesn't, in Australia, we have put a big deal on whether or not something you call something a referendum or a plebiscite or whatever, but this is what a national vote looks like. But the bigger point is the UK Parliament could have decided this if they'd wanted to. There was no need to have this referendum. The UK Parliament could have voted on this EU membership if they'd wanted to, but they decided it was so important that the whole population of the country should vote. The reason that we in Australia should care about this, apart from anything else, there are lots of reasons we should care about it, but our parliament in Canberra, for example, is able to pass laws like to legislate for marriage equality. If the Liberal government is re-elected, they will instead hold a nationwide vote. Here, we call it a plebiscite, whether or not we should have marriage equality. And there's absolutely no need for that. The parliament could have done that themselves. So that's sort of a similar issue to how the EU issue was decided in the UK.